have a summary of what we're going to be talking about in this class. Some of you are pretty much know, but there is way more. And there is so much that the Lord wants to share with us, and more importantly, to share with us and prove it by the scriptures over and over and over again. Because if a person hears some of this and they don't really know the word and they haven't really gone through the scriptures the way we're going to go through them, then, you know, there could be some problems or questions or whatever. So anyway, this says, the content discusses in depth the world of Dunn, which is an incredible spiritual place. This world is hidden and can only be accessed through the Holy Spirit, accessed through the Holy Spirit. The world of Dunn means that everything is already finished and settled in God. The choosing, the works, the ordaining, the lamb being slain, and the book of life being written. This realm of God existed before the foundation of the world. By dwelling in this realm, one can find rest, peace, and life. However, accessing this realm requires setting aside worldly wisdom and religious mindsets. And instead of focusing on God's self-giving, too much focusing on worldly wisdom instead of focusing on God's self-giving nature, as demonstrated through Jesus. Several Bible verses are references, which you know those. Then I'm going to read this one too. The transcript covers a sharing exploring the concepts of believers being placed in Christ since before the foundation of the world, according to numerous Bible verses. Numerous, amen? a flood full of them. It analyzes scriptures stating God's eternal purpose, his wisdom, his grace and glory toward believers that preceded creation and the fall of man, and Christ's sacrifice on the cross, which manifested this existing reality. Main takeaways include security for the believer based on God's pre-creation love versus struggling to earn salvation through works. Appreciating the mystery and glory set before time, and entering the eternal rest established from the foundation of the world. I just want to tell you that today, this morning, when I woke up and the Lord started sharing again, there are amazing things, and they're so spelled out in the scriptures that it is undeniable. Now, you're still hearing this anew and afresh on some level, but I've been in the Word of God and in the scriptures, and just, you know, we're going to have a good time. Okay. So I felt like in all of, because I have so many categories of things, but I felt like I should start with the basic thing that I started with the first time in Ireland, which was not last year, but the year before. What year was that? 2022 is the first time I shared on it, but I shared on it in the title of being the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. But in that time of sharing, and I probably shared five times, or was it more? Four. That time was four times.
Five.
Well, was it five or five? Okay. It was five or four times. Or it was four or five times. And I really went through the scriptures showing the wisdom of God, but not explaining it. Not really just pointing to it. And so, you know, I was leaving it up to the Holy Spirit to begin to explain it. Well, we finished out that year, and I never said what it was. So we didn't spell it out because our tendency naturally would be to assume that it was talking about what we already know. I mean, really, you know, because we do know a lot, and we know a lot from the Lord. I just felt the Holy Spirit telling me to, you know, hold up there, Skippy, you know. So we waited till this past year, and that's when the Lord just said, let's do it. And I didn't start that way with it, sort of. The first class or two, I was still holding back, and then at a certain juncture, he told me, announced the name of it and what this is about. But we started with the wisdom of God and trying to understand what the scriptures in many places, not every place, but many places in the New Testament is referring to when it talks about the wisdom of God, especially when it is spoken of concerning a mystery that's been hid. Okay. And so I want to start with that. It's in Colossians chapter 1. And we'll be looking at different things than what we looked at when I was in Ireland. We'll be even though some of the scriptures will be the same, we will be examining those things. Okay, this is verse 25, starting with verse 25, and we'll just go through up to 27. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I'm not going to get into explaining this so much, but this area is primarily really understanding you being in Christ, and the Christ that you are in from the foundation of the world is the Christ that is in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. All right. So here's some of the things we just read. It's been hid for ages. Now, you have to remember that Paul saw this 2,000 years ago, and he wrote it down. So this was a brand new writing when he said, this has been hid from ages, and it was 2,000 years ago when he was saying it's been hid for ages. So this is a long time that God waited, and we will find out why God waited. We will find out why there was a mystery. We will find out why things were hid, and it's glorious. It's really glorious. All right. So, but Paul says he's a minister of this. This is what he ministers. This ministry was given to me, he said. This is what I want to minister to the people. He also noted that it's a new dispensation, and it is. And we're not going to get into that one tonight either. This is just sort of an introductory time right now. But it is significant that he used the word dispensation. And I know that there are dispensationalists that chop up time, being this is one dispensation, da 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 da. But this isn't about chopping up time. This is about leaving time. And it's a new dispensation. It's a new way to look at things that the Lord is bringing. And then he said, to fulfill the word of God. To fulfill the word of God. We're all trying to fulfill the word of God with our lives, with our good works, with the best that we've got. And when we're not, when we see ourselves do something wrong or get off or whatever, then we go into depression or we focus on what we did wrong, and we many times don't know how to dig our way out of it. Is that a good way of putting it? To dig our way out of it. Well, God doesn't want you to dig your way out of it, because he's already done that.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then this is a manifestation. And manifestation is really big, and I've mentioned that before. It will be one of the subject areas that we get into as we roll along, gathering more and more the reality of this, that the cross and all of that was a manifestation of what God had done before the world. And I realize that many of the statements I will make in an introductory way, we will, just so you know, we'll get into it and we'll get into the scriptures and we'll look and we'll examine it and we'll take time to see, is that what God is saying, or is this something Randy's making up? And I think we'll find out that this is the word of God that he's fulfilling in us. Okay, so the mystery is related to something before the world. And we see that over and over in all those scriptures during the gathering, during the conference this year, where we just read a bunch of scriptures. And there's no denying it. When you have that many scriptures, and here's the thing, those were just scriptures that used certain language part of that, but it didn't, I mean, this thing is so expanded beyond just those scriptures. Some of the stuff that the Holy Spirit was sharing with me today, it's just amazing. And he didn't have to use one of those scriptures to show me. It even shined brighter somehow. And what I'm saying is that those scriptures that I gave are really good. And they will open your eyes to so much. But don't limit your view. Don't be like a horse that has blinders on. You know, that's what they call them when they put them on. They're called blinders, so he'll keep, you know, going straight. You don't have to have blinders on that hold you in relationship to those scriptures. Because we're going to find that the Bible basically is declaring these things. All right, so so we see that in Colossians, Paul caught sight of this and spoke of the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now is revealed to the saints. And again, that's 2,000 years ago, but for us, it's brand new, but it was brand new for him too. It's brand new. The mystery is related to something before the world. And if the mystery is related before creation, which almost all of the scriptures I gave show that, if it is related to before creation, then therefore it's not about your life, because you didn't exist yet. Isn't that right? You didn't exist. And yet you did exist in the heart of God. And as we proceed, I want to, at some juncture, I want to show how before time, the heart of God wanted something. And out of the abundance of his heart, he made a move that would touch every life that would receive it. So, So it's important to really understand that this is really about the Son. And I will be using the term the Son a lot instead of Jesus at certain junctures. And here's why. I will use the term Jesus when we're talking about New Testament scriptures that are talking about what he did as Jesus. Went to the cross, you know, died for us, da 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 da. Another term that fits Jesus of Nazareth is, and maybe even more importantly, the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Did any of you ever wonder when you'd read that over and over and go, what is he talking about? What, you know, the Son of Man, it's so if we drew it on the board over here, we would talk about the fact that there was before time, and over here that in this area that was before time, Jesus was the Son. I've referred to him in several different ways. One is the pristine Son, because there was no sin here. There was no devil. There was no failure. There was no Adam and Eve. There was no you. There was none of that to mess everything up. There was the Son, and God the Father put us in that Son. God, before the foundation of the world. But then there's also down at this end of the spectrum, this is after time starts and the timeline starts going, at a certain juncture, Jesus came as Jesus of Nazareth. He was still the Son. I mean, the first thing God said when Jesus, you know, walked out of baptism with John the Baptist was, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But this Son would manifest a certain spirit, a certain way that is important. This is where especially we thrive. Christ crucified, amen? Christ crucified, or as called not in the manifestation form, but before the foundation of the world, Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Okay, so there are references to the Son, which may be the Son of Man, or obviously in scriptures are referring to him having come during the incarnation. But the pristine Son, and we were talking about that right here, the pristine Son, the pure Son, he never was incarnated yet. That was before anything was created. He had never, you know, been incarnated. He had never been, you know, in a world that was full of danger and fear and doubt and, you know, hurt and pain and all of that. He didn't even know anything about it. So there was a purity in him that we can't imagine. We just can't imagine. All right, so that's the Son before creation and before time. And we won't get into it tonight either, but probably, I'll say this, hopefully, next class we'll begin to get into seeing, I guess I would call it ascertaining the beginning. Because that needs to be figured out. Because everybody, I mean, you even see it with the writers of the Gospels. You know, John starts, you know, like in a certain sense, before time. Each one of them starts at a different place. Somebody starts with John the Baptist. Somebody starts at the birth of Jesus. Somebody starts at, you see what I mean? That's not the beginning. That may be the beginning of the Son of Man, but that's not the pristine Son. That's not the pure Son. And we were placed in that Son. Okay. Now, there is a manifestation of that, and we also were placed in Christ. Same person, different location. Does that make sense to some of you? That, you know, maybe not said in the best way. All right. So this mystery, the beauty of it is that it pertains to us. Us. It pertains to us. Yes, it's his heart. If we look and see his heart, we see, well, that pertains to you, and we love you, and da 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 da. But he's saying it back. You ever had somebody like that? You say, I love you, and they say, oh, I love you more. And you say, well, I love you, da 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 da. And, you know, just slap them. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But this is, you know, or somebody says, well, here, I want to lay down my life for you. I want to lay down my life for you. Well, I want to, and I want to, and, you know, back and forth. Okay, you know. Well, we are his object in doing this before time, before creation. We are the object that he was doing this for. And you're going to see this over and over and over. And of course, the goal of saying that isn't to get us to go, oh, I'm so important to God, and I'm everything, and he just loves me, and I will always be so special to him because he sees in me what's so, so special. Please don't do that. See, it just gave me a stomachache faking it. No. Yes, 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 yes. By Christ, you know, his heart, but his heart of love. Oh, I can't say that right now. But his heart of love cannot be mistaken for exalting us to a place where we are an abomination. That's why we stay pure by just giving him all the glory. Amen? All the glory. Hallelujah. All right. So, the mystery pertains to us. So I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to turn there with me. And we're going to see how this mystery does pertain to us. First Corinthians chapter 2, just verse 6 and 7. He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Pretty cool, huh? You know, I like seeing your smiling faces when I read some of this, because this is what the Lord, I just smile a lot, don't I, Deb? This wisdom is a wisdom that pertains to our benefit before the world unto our glory. Before the world. You hear that?
Yes.
It's important that you see that he was doing this before time, before the world, that this was his heart, that this was something that was going to cover all time, and time had not even been invented yet. before the world. Okay? Unto our glory. So some of the main points of this is this wisdom that pertains to our benefit was a wisdom that was before the world, and the purpose of it was to our glory. All right, so the next one, next part of that, main points of this verse, it is spoken or talked about among certain ones. It is spoken or talked about among certain ones. Let me read that. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Okay, so it would be easy for us to get off on the word perfect. I'm perfect. Well, you know, just say that a few times and then wait and watch what God will do in your life. You know, that's right. You know, the goal isn't that kind of perfection, but it is those who know and understand this reality, not their any perfection of their own or any spiritual perfection in that sense, but they have heard and they say yes. And so there's a speaking. Have y'all been sharing? Any of y'all been sharing one with another or talking about it or whatever? Then what are you doing? You are speaking wisdom among them that know this. You didn't know you were in there fulfilling it without even knowing. Yeah. But that's you. That's me. That's whosoever will. And trust me, I mean, many of you, maybe all of you, had never heard of this before the Lord shared it with me, but I didn't know it. I didn't see it. Only when He chose to open my eyes, because I'm a blind man. And if God doesn't open my eyes, I can read the Bible all day till my eyeballs fall down on the book and not get anything. That's just the way it is. All right. I just like this section. So I'm going to just read that. It is spoken or talked about among certain ones. Who are they? It is those who are perfect. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. This is not speaking of perfection in yourself or in myself, in the sense of you're so perfect you never sinned. Be honest with you, this would be more like you're so messed up and sinned so much that He had to just do this for you. And that should be a good hearty amen. Amen. thank God, because, you know, I'm not deceived. I'm not perfect. Yes, Lord. So the next, remember I'm doing main points in this verse. why has nobody heard of this before? How come they haven't heard about this? And here's what I mean. Let's just say that you get all excited. And I said something like this in Ireland last year. I said, look, do me a favor. And I barely shared it. I said, do me a favor. Don't leave Ireland and go back to your different countries and states and places and start telling people and talking about something that you really don't really know yet. But your spirit's bearing witness, but that doesn't give you a tongue yet. Amen? Your spirit can be going, this is the Lord. And I believe many of you, the Lord has done that, and the Lord's done that. But there's a reason, you know, you would go, well, why wouldn't everybody hear it the way I did? I mean, I always hearken back to that little group there that was in Ireland, and I'm sharing it, and they're just going, ah, and y'all saw pictures or videos of them giggling so hard and like, oh, my God, you know, they were drunk in the spirit on the new wine. Not the old wine. Hallelujah. And so, but I said, and I was adamant about it, please don't go back and try to tell your pastor this or whatever. Just soak in it. Just take time. Just be with the Lord. Just look at it. And once the Spirit of God has just filled you up, when you're a vessel full and running over, David said, my cup runneth over. Can you imagine what he was hearing? And our cups, you know, but let's be careful. And here's why. So why has nobody heard about this? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Why would they not know it? Because it's a mystery, it's hidden, and it was there before the world. How are you going to, if it was like a treasure that was hidden, somebody says, there was a treasure hidden in Denton, Texas, back in the 1700s when the Spaniards came, you know, to Mexico, and then they came up and da-da-da-da, and it was a treasure chest full of, and we have, you know, documentation and all this stuff. And so, you know, everybody in the city's out digging up their garden and everything else going, where is it? I want that, you know. Well, this one you're not going to be able to do because this one is hidden before the foundation of the world and you can't go back there except by Christ. And you will go back there. You will. Or you will see that you are there. So, if it's a mystery, folks, you're not going to be able to explain that to everybody. If it's hidden, you might know the mystery, but you can't unhide it for them. Just be faithful in seeking the Lord. Make that heart of yours be pointed at one object, and that's Jesus. All right, so I wrote, you may not know anyone who has ever heard this. You may not be endowed with the wisdom of this world. You may not know how much, or you may not know much about the Bible, but you can actually know this. Yeah, you may not know anyone who's heard this outside of, I don't know. And I'm not saying that we're exclusive or whatever and that we're the only ones with, you know, something really special from God. Paul had it, Peter had it, they all had it coming this way. And I'm sure there's plenty of people, depending on your definition of plenty, that have seen or yet will see it totally apart from us and without us explaining anything. But it's still a fact that the Spirit of God is speaking to us in this area, and it's coming from the Lord. It's not the wisdom of man, is it? So, you may not at this stage of your walk with the Lord know a whole lot of the Bible. You know, if somebody stood up here with a whole bunch of questions about the Bible and said, okay, over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 42, what does it say you there? And you might go, I don't know anything. And then, you know, I don't know anything in Ecclesiastes. You know, did you know that you don't have to know everything in Ecclesiastes to know this? Amen. Amen. And if there's anybody you've ever known that has said, get into the scriptures, search the scriptures, that would be who? It would be me. I'm not telling you don't search the scriptures because I'm doing it over this. But I'm just telling you, our goal is not just to know, period, all, every scripture, every book, every, you know, the Pharisees knew, they had it memorized. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the scriptures. They could put us all to shame on that front. But if you know that you are in this Son, this pure Son, and God the Father put you there, and what He did while you were there, and that you are still there, you are still there, and we need to make the transition from spiritual reality far away to manifestation in these earthen vessels. But it certainly isn't a transition from being a poor example of what Christianity is unto knowing the Bible in great ways. That's not the goal. To be found in Him. You know? I mean, most of us are trying to be found in Him having our own righteousness. He says not having our own righteousness. This is not... Oh, that's your scripture from... How old were you when you first got that verse?
8 years
old? Cool. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And that's going to be a big deal. We're going to discuss the difference between Jews and Gentiles. And we're going to see it in light of all of this stuff. I will say this, and you know, but I'll say this. Getting to the Lord in this, it's easier to do it as a Gentile than it is a Jew. Just so you know. So if you're a Gentile, you're not Jewish, just go, thank you, Jesus. Because it's a long road you have to take on that one. That's why the Bible's so full of all of the stuff about Jews. And most of you know that, you know, Nussbaum is Jewish. That Nussbaum. No. Got to be careful nowadays. Okay, so let's go back to this wisdom that is for us. Let me read that again. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God. This isn't just the wisdom of Jesus or the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. This is the wisdom by which God operates. The wisdom of God, and it's in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, intentionally hidden. Oh, there's so many parables that are meant to open our eyes to these meanings. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So this is telling us that there's something done for us before the world was created. Amen.
Yes.
Can we agree on that one?
Yes.
Okay. There, clearly the scriptures say that on so many fronts. It has to do with the impartation of wisdom. To know this and walk in it. It's not knowledge. You know, knowledge has to do with knowing things. Wisdom has to do with the ability to walk in what you know. Well, it's not saying walk in everything you ever knew as a Christian from, you know, when I was 7 years old, I remember the Sunday school teacher said that, da-da-da-da, and I'm still trying to walk in it. You know, it's not that. It's not. That's the wrong wisdom. It's not bad wisdom. It's just not what this is talking about. This verse is talking about. Amen? This is speaking specifically of a certain kind of wisdom that was ordained before the world. Every aspect of wisdom, even in the Bible, is not necessarily talking about what God did before the foundation of the world. I mean, some things written, for example, in Ecclesiastes, will say, you know, be sure and open the door before you try to go through it. Okay, I'll try, you know. No. Yeah. All right, so this has to do with the impartation of wisdom. We are not becoming wise. We are gaining an increase of Christ. And let me say this. I've already explained part of this thing. Really, to use the word Christ is really the word Messiah, which is a Jewish name. Okay, so it's usually referring to the manifestation of him when he was incarnated. But he was doing this stuff with this wisdom before the foundation of the world. Okay, so so that's why I'm careful now when I'm reading to notice. If it talks about the Son, is it talking about the incarnated Son, the begotten Son? Or is it talking about the eternal Son? Is it talking about, if it's using Christ? Well, that's definitely talking about, you know, and yes, Jesus died for all and da-da-da-da, all of that stuff. But it's definitely talking about the incarnated Son. It'll help you when you're searching. It will. It'll start opening little doors and you go, ah! it's the pure Son. It's the pristine Son. Okay, so and we're gaining an increase of his mind or his wisdom. So if we're in that process, we're going to be losing ground with ourself. One thing's going to increase and the other's going to decrease. It has to, by its nature, not by your works. I mean, how many of you have heard, well, he must increase and I must decrease, and went, oh God, I'm trying. Yay. I'm coming, Jesus. And he's sitting up there going, you're here. In him. And you are. That you are in him, that he made you by union, by a more pure oneness, that one will bring about transformation. So in the long run down the road here, we'll have to get into all of this and really spell it out. Because, you know, I know when I first started seeing this, I'd read over in Romans and I'd go, well, how does that apply to this? And then I'd read over somewhere else and I'd go, well, this is... I don't see it here, you know. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit's just, you know, looking at me going, are we going to go through this again, you know? You know, you're just trying to figure it out so that you can work it out, which is the exact opposite of how he is trying to operate in your life. Oh, some things I just have to hold back on right now. All right, so we are losing ground so that he is known and we are known in him. Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Okay? So this is calling him Christ. So this has an aspect of something. All right. So then Philippians 2, verse 5 and 11 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then it says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Okay, so clearly there is this aspect of Jesus being incarnated, coming to the earth, dying. But what if that cross that you look at and he's dying on that cross, what if that's a manifestation of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world? What if it's just a manifestation of a reality that always was before there was even a world?
Wow.
Yeah. Manifestation is a big deal. But manifestation is not works. Can I get a smile? Manifestation is not works. Manifestation is something real manifesting. Okay. All right. So where are we at? We still got a little time, huh? Or do we? All right. Let's consider 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. We're going to take a little baby step here. You ready? A little baby step?
Yes.
You know, I had three girls, and they were little babies, and they learned to walk. And you'd say, "Come on, come on, you can do it. Come on, let go, come on, come to me." You know? And they'd eventually go and take one little step, and we'd go, "Aah!" All heaven is shouting right now because some of you are taking a step that you need to take. All right, 1 John 3, 1 through 3. "Behold," see it. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Because we're one with him, because we're not what we think we are in this earth. We are what we are in him. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Amen.
We're always trying to fix this thing. And the thing that would fix it is if we would see as he sees, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore," okay, so verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Okay, but then it'll throw you off if you're not careful. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." It's talking about the pure one. It's the pure one. Okay? That's who we need to see. Okay, so this is saying, first of all, this is saying, saying, "Beloved." Well, that's a name God gave to Jesus. So he's looking at you in Christ. He's looking at you in Son, in the pure Son. This is how he sees you. This, let me say it like that. This is your identity. And you're working so hard to change your identity so that you'd be more like Jesus when you're already one with him. You're not Jesus, but you're one with him. And if God's satisfied with it, what should you do? Man. So here's one of the main things he's saying. You are right now. You are right now the sons of God. Meaning, you know, this is not a male-female thing. What about us? I'm a girl. You're the girl of God. Don't worry about it. No. No, it's saying sons because he's the son and we're in him. It's not a gender thing. Thank God. Anyway, so therefore the world knoweth us not because they don't know him. Again, when you get on this plane, you're not going to just be able to explain all this to somebody because the world is not going to know you. They're going to know you as you. You need to know you as in him.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world. That's where he wants you to know him. Okay? So, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Okay, so this is stating that you're trying to be really of God. And he's saying you already are. Do you understand the word now?
Yes.
How about now are we? Okay. Okay, so, but then he says, now are we the sons of God. But then this could throw you off, and it says it doth not yet appear what we shall be. This scripture right here in 1 John and the ones we're looking at, they're going to be so much fun later. They're going to just be fun. I'm telling you. The language is pure. It's clear. But if we are still used to life down here and hearing everything from here, how will we understand what is true up there? We have to see the way he sees us. We have to. And we will. God willing. Okay. So, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. So, he's not worrying about it. He's not saying, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but I thought you said I'm a son of God, and now you're saying it's not appear what it shall be. And he's just talking about the appearing. You have to have this appearing of Jesus the way he is before the foundation of the world and with you in him. As I said, this one's going to be a big one. but we know. And he's okay. He's saying, it doesn't yet appear. And he doesn't start crying and going, well, I want it to appear. He says, but we know. We're not worried. We're not freaking out. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's it. But it's not Jesus appearing in the air. No, it's not. Not this. This is not talking about that. This is talking about seeing the pure Son. Seeing what God did before the foundation of the world. Seeing that there's a whole realm of reality that God dwells in, and you have been brought there, as it were, because it's in a person, to live. Oh man. And the Father is opening with open arms a welcome mat for you to come into this reality. All right, so then he says, but we know that when he shall appear we shall be like him. So that's it. You know, this isn't a lot of times people say, okay, Jesus is going to appear in the clouds. Well, it talks about that, and there's scriptures that say that. That's not what this is, and therefore he's saying this is different because he says when he appears, he didn't say then you're going to be in heaven and you're going to be saved and everything's going to be wonderful because you're in heaven. Well, being in heaven, I don't care what you say. There's a difference between heavenly places and heaven. And Jesus is that difference. See, it's like being a Christian. You really love Jesus. And so Jesus comes in And he says, okay, I have a room for you. And he walks you over and he puts you in the room, shuts the door, and he never visits. You just sit around and go, oh, look at all the cool stuff in my room. Oh, it's like heaven. And oh, it's just wonderful. But after a while, you're going, where's Jesus? I came up here for Jesus. I want Jesus. You see that?
Amen.
That's the heart cry. We're not trying to escape something. We're trying to have our eyes open. What I keep calling a seeing. There's a seeing that has to take place, and this is talking about it. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I'm telling you that there is a purification that process that we have a hand in, which is really nothing more than to just believe what he's telling you on this realm. And we'll use so many different examples from the scriptures, stories and different things to show that's where the problem comes, is when people just, you know, they refuse the Son. You refuse the Son, what do you got? You got you. So, but don't worry about that. And I'm just telling you that because he says not to. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, if he has it in him, purifieth himself to the same degree that he is pure, because it's not Jesus is pure and then all of a sudden you're pure over here. It is Jesus is pure and you see him and you go, oh my God. And then all of a sudden you realize I'm in this guy. You know, God could have sent an angel to protect you. Don't you wish you had a guardian angel? Well, maybe you do, but that I would rather have Jesus any day. All right, so I need to mark this and stop right here. But just so you know, the next thing I'm going to share on next time I share is I'm going to start with you are the salt of the earth. Because a lot of times we read that and we go, oh, okay, I'll try to be the salt of the earth. You know, you are. There's a whole lot of that in this thing. So we're going to have fun. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, well, praise God. Father, I just love you and we love you and we're here for you. And your Holy Spirit is stirring the waters. Not some angel. The Holy Spirit is stirring the waters, and all we got to do is step in. And if somebody steps in before us, we all get it still. And we want you, and we want to see you, and we want to know you in this way. And we want it to bring glory to you, not glory to us. And Father, I just ask you right now that none of us would hear something that is so pure and get puffed up over it, or think that we're better than anybody else, or our church is better than anybody else's. Father, we are less than the least of all churches, and yet we trust that you are bringing us into exactly what 1 John said, into the pure Son, purified even as he is pure. So have your way. Open our hearts. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen.